Hello, folks, and hey, Bear, Aaron Weber here with my co-host, Brian Bates, and across the table from me, filling in for Nate Bargatze, is Dusty Slay. Dusty, welcome to the Nateland Podcast. Good to see you, buddy.
I'm pumped to be here.
How's it feel from that side of the table?
Feels good. I always like this.
Yeah, Nate's not here today. I don't know what he's doing. He's headlining the Roman Coliseum or something all over the world. I don't know where he's at. I feel like I never see him anymore. I miss him, but I'm happy to be here with the two of y'all.
He sent a statement. Did he really? This is about the shortened.
Did he really?
Episode.
Is this a real?
I haven't read this yet, so I don't know what it says.
Feels like a bit, though, doesn't it?
Guys, this is the first statement in the history of the podcast.
I know a lot of you are upset about the recent decision to shorten the podcast to an hour. While I understand your concerns, I don't care. I'm a huge star. Oh, I wish I'd have read this ahead of time. I'm a huge star now. I don't need any of you. Oh, this is awkward. The truth is, no matter how long the podcast, you rubes will still listen to it because you have nothing to better do with your sad little lives.
No.
This is awkward.
This is intense. You should have read it ahead of time.
We love you. And none of this is lost on us. Sincerely, Nate Bargatze. Well, that's awkward. I wish I'd have read that ahead of time.
Yeah.
Anyway. No, actually, it was my decision to shorten the podcast.
Was it really?
Nate wanted to do 3 hours. But I'm like, guys, come on. I am so busy.
I'm going to be honest with you. I support 1 hour more than three.
We've done three before. Haven't we?
We've gotten close.
John Reap was here for like 4 hours or something crazy, right? I feel like we did a long one with him.
John Reap's got a lot of energy.
He does, and he sustained it for the whole length of the time.
We've done a few. I don't know if we've ever hit three, but we've pushed over 2.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, leave them wanting more. I mean, it's my motto.
I do get it. Like sometimes if I'm like, I got a flight and I'm trying to download some podcasts to listen to, if it says 2 hours, I'm like, nah, I don't, I'm not going to have the time to listen to it. And then I'll never go back and finish.
Yeah.
So an hour is a real sweet spot, but I also don't work a desk job. So I think if you work where you can be free to just listen to podcasts all day, I get wanting more time because podcasts are pretty filthy out there. So it is nice when you can find like something that you could listen to at work or around your kids. I didn't realize how filthy a lot of podcasts were until I had kids in the car. And then I was like, oh gosh, you know, cause I'm completely desensitized to the world.
Right.
But, I've been around a lot of filth in my life.
People always say that they wish they could comment during the episode. I get it because I mean, even the ones I'm not on, if I listen, I'm like, these guys are idiots. I listen to Dusty's every week. And I'm like, this guy does not know what he's talking about.
I was listening to talk radio today in Nashville and they were talking about the moon landing. And then they go, can you believe a lot of people don't believe we landed on the moon? And I know the host. So I text him.
While he's on air?
Yeah. And he gave me a shout out. So now Nashville believes that I don't believe in the moon landing, whether I do or not.
Yeah.
They believe that.
You're not coming down on it either way.
Yeah.
You're just interested in the conversation.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about, really.
Is this someone you want to say?
Well, yeah, Matt Murphy I listen to on 99.7. Okay. Really fun guy.
Okay.
He's had me on a few times. Really nice guy.
Yeah.
And they're covering just topical stuff like the moon landing.
Yeah, he just talks about anything.
Just like day-to-day news.
He'll be political, but he really just gets it. He's like a libertarian, so he just kind of, he just goes off. People get mad sometimes when I'm on the station with him because they're like, we got all these hot topics to talk about and you're talking to some comedian. And I'm like, well, not just some comedian. I'm the best. You know what I mean? So take it easy.
Where were y'all this weekend? Oh,
God. Where were you, Dusty?
I was in Huntsville, Alabama. And I did a moon landing joke, and I spilled water on myself, but it went very good. I'm left-handed, and when I'm over here, everything's backwards.
Oh, you know what I mean? Okay. So you can move that around.
Well, I need the handle to be,
You're left-handed, too?
Yeah.
God, that explains, it just explains a lot.
Yeah. I mean, we're geniuses.
What are you getting at?
Like, finding out you're left-handed. You're like, that makes sense to me.
Well, why just me?
I don't know. Dusty's... He's got a lot going on.
Yeah.
But you're like, you probably drive with your left foot too.
No, I drive with my right foot.
Okay.
but I do a lot of things with my left.
Well, I was in Huntsville, Alabama, stand-up live. Yeah. It was great. I never sold out a show in Huntsville before. I've been going for years and
Nobody ever has.
I never sold one out. I sold out three this weekend.
All right.
Yeah, three of the five were sold out.
Wow.
And it was incredible.
Good for you, man.
Great shows. I made a joke. I said, you know the roads in Huntsville, this may not be for everyone, but they have this weird road.
Uh-huh.
And it's just right out in front of the club. It's like kind of an interstate, but you got to get off, get back on, make U-turns.
Yeah.
I said, I don't know who's designing this, but I can see why we haven't been back to the moon. Hot joke. They loved it. One show, I gave it a nice pause, and then I go, if the moon's even real. And another great pop.
All right.
They loved it.
And there's NASA people in the audience.
Yeah. And cause, and they're the people who know it's not real. You know what I mean? Like they're right up in it. They're just in on the lie. So when somebody says it, they're like, ah, yes. It's like a big relief.
It's cathartic
to them.
For them.
Yeah. It feels good. Like, of course, if we were in a conversation, they would have to go, no, it's real.
No, yeah.
But
there.
If we, no, but I do believe the moon's real, just that we can't go there.
Okay.
I do believe it's
real. Oh, you do believe it's real.
All right. That's quite a concession.
Of course it's real, but we just, you know, we can't land on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
So,
okay. Well,
yeah, it's quite a concession. Why, like
they
said
we were going to go back this month, and then you know they were saying that last year we're going to go back in January, and now we're not doing it.
I don't think that's quite right. Well, maybe we have different news sources, but I think the first of the year they were saying we were going to go back this year, or make a trip around it.
Okay.
In 2024 with people.
Right.
2025, we're going to land on the moon. Now they've already scrapped the 2024 trip around it. So everything's been pushed back.
So regardless of the timetable, we're not going to do it now.
Okay.
And then India did it. But then when the footage looked like the video game Galaga or Galactica, whatever the game was called.
Yeah. India landed a rover
on
the moon. I don't know if it's called a rover.
The footage looks bad.
It does look bad. I'm not saying they didn't do it, but the footage is not a good look.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we try to show it on here.
It'd be like me telling you that I got into a fight and saying it's on video and then showing you Street Fighter 2. And I'd be like, no, that's me right there. And you're like, that's a cartoon. And I'm like, nah, dude. When I get into fights, I get into cartoon mode.
Were they claiming it was video or just saying this is animation of what it would look like?
I don't know. I mean,
so Huntsville was good.
It was a great
At the end of the day, Huntsville was great.
It was a great time.
Great time.
Had a lot of fun.
Great club.
Yeah. I love it there. There's a lot of coasters here for stacked coasters, stacked on top of coasters around here.
Well, you got two cups there.
I do have two cups. It's kind of a boring coaster, but
what about you, Brian? What were you up to this week? <It's okay. laughs> You use coasters at the house?
Yeah. Well, Hannah does and tells me to do it.
Hey, you don't.
I could care less. I buy a lot of my furniture at, you know, a thrift store.
Mm-hmm.
It's the kind of furniture that you can afford to just throw out at some point.
Yeah.
And I like that.
The whole thing's a coaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's don't get ahead on furniture talk.
This is a
furniture episode. Once Nate's away, we can finally get into it.
Yeah, some stuff we've been wanting to get off our chest.
Yeah. Well, I love that. You're right. We got a furniture episode. This is fun.
Save all the furniture
talk. This is, you know, a little preview of what's about to happen.
Right,
that feels good.
I was at a venue called the Walnut House in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
The Walnut House.
This is my third time to do this place. It's a great, great venue. Two shows. I think they were both sold out.
Nice. Good deal.
It's a great time.
Oh, I'd also like to say this, though. This is something that I did.
All right.
Sorry.
Back to Dusty.
I did a podcast called Are You Garbage?
You sure did.
And I know it was shared in the Facebook group,
but
I don't, you know, maybe there's more listeners that
And on Reddit.
And on Reddit. Oh, I didn't see it, right? You know, I'm out of Reddit now. Reddit's not kind to me. And
it's not kind to anyone.
Yeah. But I did that episode, and your wife texted me and said it's maybe the best podcast she's ever heard. And
wow, she likes to speak in.
She gets excited, and but I'm just saying, I don't think she would mind me saying that. And
have you ever seen her Instagram story? There's something right now that's the greatest thing she's.
All I'm saying is she texted that to me personally, and it made me feel good. And a lot of people have said it's a hot episode.
It was a hot episode.
The consensus is it's one of the best episodes of that podcast.
Yeah,
which has a lot of great episodes.
Yeah, Lucy said best ever that she's ever heard. So across all podcasts, all comedians, she didn't get detailed with it, but
best of any type of media, period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I felt good about it.
Is this the beginning or the tail end of the Dusty Slade media blitz following the Netflix special?
This is, I don't know. I don't know how long it'll go on, but it's still happening. I'm going to make a trip to LA next week. So
nice.
So it's still going.
Any other big stuff in the works? You did the Tonight Show. Anything else like
that? Well, there is some stuff. I don't know that I can say yet.
Okay.
But there is some stuff in the works. Some stuff I'm very excited about.
Okay. Okay. All right. A little teaser. Yeah, How about that?
Can we guess?
Well, you can guess, but I won't say yes or no about it.
That kind of takes the fun out of guessing.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
Where were you, Aaron?
I was in Des Moines, Iowa. I got to tell you, Iowa, great state. Doesn't get talked about enough.
I like it a lot.
I think it's a great comedy state, too. I was thinking about it. I've had great shows there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had a bad comedy experience in Iowa. Dubuque, Cedar Rapids, Des Moines, a couple other smaller cities I've done stuff in, but the Des Moines club was great. Sold one show out, not three.
All right.
One show sold
That's
out.
That's big time.
Yeah.
Though.
Out of three shows, one of them sold out, not bad. And it was just, every show was great. The people were nice. A lot of Nateland people came out. It was a lot of fun. So thank you, everybody. That came out in Des Moines.
Iowa seems to be a hot Nateland place. So does Ohio, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, that the time I brought us those Longhorn gift cards, that was from a lady in Des Moines.
Oh, okay.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Yeah. I wonder if she came to your show.
Well, we'll never know.
Yeah.
Because if somebody gave me four $50 gift cards, I don't think I'd ever bring it into y'all. I think I would not tell you about it. So just putting that out there. Who knows if I got something?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, maybe we call around to the Longhorns. Say, hey, did a guy spend $200 in there on four separate gift cards? Do you remember seeing him?
Maybe. You want to hop into these comments?
Yeah,
let's do it.
What do you think, Dusty? You want to read them, or Brian? You want to read them, or? I feel like one of y'all should do it.
All right. Dusty, you want to do it or you want me to do it?
I'm not like, it's one of those days I don't like the sound of my voice today.
Let me read a couple. Okay. And I don't have to read them all.
All right.
You know what I mean? We can split up the duties here.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
That'd be a first.
Maybe I'll read one, then you read one. We'll take some turns if you want to jump in on one. Wow. You know what I mean? Spread it around a bit.
Well, I do want people to know. You can read the first one, but I want people to know comments come from Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Apple Podcast Reviews, and NateLand@NateBargatze.com. Not Brian Bates' Gmail or Brian Bates' social media.
Or my Twitter.
Yeah. Or
you getting a lot of that?
No, not a lot, but I will just tag Brian in it when that happens.
Yeah, people ask him, hey, how can we get a comment? He'll just tag me. Let me take care of it.
All right, this is from Erica Breaker. I think it's Breaker. I like that last name, though. Sounds like a wrestling name. Erica Breaker. About to break these bones. Aaron mentioned the plane where the door flew off. I was on that plane, sitting across from the hole, and just wanted you guys to know that it was not a door from the inside. From the inside, it was... Okay. From the inside, it was a regular seat and window. Imagine the terror of flying and a random piece of your plane rips off and you have to look at the earth below you. That does sound terrifying, but I don't know that it's any less terrifying if it's a door, a window, a piece of the wall. I think just something ripping off the plane and you being open is pretty scary.
Yeah.
There's the picture right there. How crazy is it that we had somebody who was on that flight listen to the podcast?
That's so crazy.
Mathematically, what are the chances? Dusty, you want to calculate that for
us? I think very low. I would say one in a million. I'm just going to I have no idea how those sort of statistics work.
Yeah. How many people are on that flight? 150 maybe?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that's insane. Erica, I'm glad you're okay. And there's the picture right there. We got a nice picture. I'm glad you weren't sitting right there. I'm going to disagree with you, Dusty. I think it's more terrifying that just the side of the plane flew off and not an exit door. I didn't know that. I didn't know that's what happened. I thought it was the exit door.
I think
that's insane.
I think most people are thinking that.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine you're at the exit And then when it lands, the flight attendant comes and goes, I thought you said you could handle the duties here. Okay. I came by and I told you to read the brochure and I go, I'm looking for verbal confirmation. And you said, yes.
Right.
And then here we are mid flight, the door comes off.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's got to be a relief that it's part of the wall. Imagine being at the exit row and another part of the wall lifts off and you're like, I don't know. Should I jump into action here?
Yeah. She didn't ask me about row.
Yeah.
Row B.
Should I open the door, get a little flow going through?
Yeah. Have you ever been a hero like that?
Absolutely not.
You haven't?
Nah.
A hero like that?
No. Like, have you ever stepped in a situation like that? Not just on a plane, but anything in general.
I think I've tried before in certain situations, but I feel like it's like, it'll be all wrong to where it's like, they're like, no, we don't need anything. And you're like, oh, okay, I was trying to.
What, you mean like you saw somebody on the ground or something?
I don't know. Like, let's say this, like when, you know, the tornado hit Nashville, I kind of wanted to go and help clean up.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, whenever I show up to something like that, there'll be somebody already in control. And they're like, oh, we want you to just, pick up small sticks. And I'm just like, oh, I know. I'm not out here to just pick up small sticks.
Being a villain. Yeah, that's the opposite of a
maybe
hero.
You're right. Maybe, but I want to be more involved. I don't want to be off to the side. I don't need to be a hero. I don't need to be on the news.
Uh-huh.
But I'd rather, you know, let me help, you know, people inside, see if they need, you know, I take my arm or something. I don't want to be picking up little pieces of sheetrock out here.
You think they're going to be cleaning up while there's still people trapped?
I don't know.
And we need you to reach in to pull them out?
I just feel like I always get, when I used to help my church do things, I just felt like I always got like the least important.
Yeah. Fun.
They're like, why don't you go get the donuts? You know? And I'm like,
sounds pretty good.
Yeah, actually,
sounds important to me.
I wish they would do that to me.
Yeah,
I've never been a hero. Far from it. If anything,
far from it.
I've caused some detriment, probably.
So you're a villain too, then?
Yeah, I guess so. But Angela Johnson, who was on our podcast a few weeks ago, I opened for her at Stardome in Hoover, right, like 2 days after the tornadoes came through Tuscaloosa and did so much damage.
Okay.
And she stopped and bought all these supplies. I don't know. I can't remember if she had a contact there and knew what to get.
Yeah.
But we stopped at Target and bought all these supplies that apparently maybe rescue workers need or something. And she paid for it all. And we took it to the scene. And
that's cool.
It was a lot of stuff. So Angela stepped up.
Wow.
See, I feel like.
But you were there.
I was there.
I watched. You were in the room. Did you help load that into the car at all?
No, I stayed in the car, but.
You're like, I'll keep the car warm.
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast, had to finish, but.
But I feel like if I were to buy stuff like that, I'd show up and they'd go, yeah, just put it over there with the other stuff.
Uh-huh.
It would, like, I don't want them, I don't need them to, pop a confetti balloon when I get there. But
you want someone to go, is that Dusty Slade?
Or I just want somebody to go, hey, we really appreciate this. This is very helpful.
Sure, I get that.
Just put it over there with the other stuff. We don't really got time to deal with it right now.
Right.
I just feel like that's how people are going to react to me.
It's people's, the worst day of their life, you'd still like it to be a little bit about you.
Yes.
Okay. That's fair.
Or not a little bit about me, but, just I don't want to be pushed to the side. Like, you know the movie Superbad, right? These two guys spend the whole day trying to get this liquor for the party.
Right.
And then they go through so much trouble to get it. And they finally get there with it. And they're like, yeah, we got tons of it over here.
Let's put it over there.
Yeah.
Sure.
Or a Teen Wolf. This seems to be a theme in a lot of, like, they go through so much trouble to get a keg. And then they finally get there and they got tons of kegs.
Right. Right.
You're not a hero.
Well, I always reference Seinfeld. There's a Seinfeld episode where George puts a dollar, I can't remember what it was, a bill in the tip jar. And right when he reaches to do it, the guy looks away. He doesn't see it.
Yeah.
And he wants the recognition.
Yeah.
Sure. I get that. I get that.
I have told people that I tipped before. Just want you to know.
I put something
in
there.
I did put some money in there.
And then you can lie about how much you did.
Yeah.
Because they didn't see it.
Put $100 in there. And they're like, we can see there's only three in there. Well, somebody took it, but I don't know what to tell you.
I wasn't there, but Nate's bus driver, Ricky,
right,
was really a hero. He, Nate's road manager at the time, started choking on food. And Ricky gave him the Heimlich maneuver and saved his life. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Could you do that for somebody? Could you do that for me?
You gotta get your arms around.
All right. When,
me and Dusty together.
You have to join hands.
Everybody in the room.
To get around my stomach.
Laura, come up here. That's funny. You're filling in nicely for Nate.
Yeah, you sure are. Listen, I see an opening and I'm like, do I want to make the joke? It'll probably be worth it.
Well, I did take a infant CPR class when Eleanor was born.
Oh, okay.
But they also did it for, you know, adults. And she was talking about, I have a joke about this. The woman from the Red Cross teaching it talked about abdominal thrust. And I said, are you talking about the Heimlich maneuver? And she said, yeah, but we don't call it that anymore because Dr. Heimlich had some beliefs we don't agree with.
He was a Nazi, right?
I don't think that. I think that was, you're thinking about maybe Asperger's.
You know what? I was.
But the bottom line is they don't call it the Heimlich maneuver anymore.
Wow.
It's abdominal thrust.
Oh, good.
You can even lose your maneuvers.
Yeah.
I mean, we're losing it all.
So anyway.
You want
to? Well, I'd like to know Dr. Heimlich's views.
I think it was, I looked it up. I think it was not anything as sinister as that. It was
just about the moon landing.
It was about, I think it was about a actual procedure, like the proper way to do something, and they disagreed.
Oh, it was like a scientific disagreement.
I think so. So they canceled it.
Wow.
So anyway,
I think you shouldn't do the maneuver. If you see somebody choke and you go, you know what? I don't believe the way that Dr. Heimlich believed. So
that's my joke.
So, oh, is it? Sorry. Okay. Sorry. Well, don't bring it up.
Well, let him punch it up for you, Brian.
Shingle ladies? Yeah. You mean do this one?
Yeah.
Joshua Heinstrider. Mm. Friday at work, we sometimes watch a show during lunch. I picked Dusty's new Netflix special. Within 8 minutes, two people had spit out food laughing, and one guy choked pretty bad. Oh, perfect timing for this.
How about that?
Yeah.
He is okay now.
This is Heinstrider. I mean, that may be related. Yeah.
This is all related. The manager declared that this is not work appropriate. I guess not. However, everyone in the room asked me afterward who that comedian was. I think Dusty made some new fans.
All right. I love that I'm killing in the what is this? The lunchroom.
Yeah. Here.
I love that. All right. Thanks, Joshua Heinstrider.
That's pretty awesome.
That's awesome. I love
very
that.
Very nice. Everybody, go watch Working Man.
I hope that choking. Oh, he does say he's okay now. So I'm glad. Yeah. Glad to know that. Well, that's awesome. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Alex Thomason. Aaron was.
Thomason.
Alex T. Aaron was wondering about other uses for hot hands technology. As a young single man, I took a lady on a date when it was cold out. I only had one hot hands packet left, so my date and I had to share it. Boom! Instant hand holding. Probably the only time I've ever looked smooth with the ladies. My friends started calling me hot palms.
I love that. That's risky, though. It's like, your hand's cold? Put it in this pocket. It's warm in this pocket.
Oh, I don't think he left it in his pocket.
Oh, you think?
I think he put it in his hands. Okay. Let's
share it.
That's how I would do it.
That's a way creepier way of doing it.
That's how I would do
it. It's nice and warm in this pocket. Oh, jeez.
It's a hot pocket.
Well, Alex, if you planned that, I mean, that's brilliant.
It is brilliant.
I think just to have one. But then there's always that. I always think, what's the possibility? She goes, nah, it's not that cold.
She's like,
you like apples?
Yeah.
She's like, I'd rather do this.
I'd rather just go home.
Yeah, I'd rather just, let's go back inside.
Yeah, if she's like, it's not that cold, but then you see her doing that, you're like, you don't want to end the date? You think the date's over? David Lewicki would love to get y'all's thoughts on comedians using visual or PowerPoint slides to aid in their acts. I've been seeing it more often lately, and it seems like something that might bother traditional stand-up comedians.
Where have you been seeing it from?
There's a friend of mine, or he's a Nashville comic, Ben Palmer, who moved here, and his act is, he uses a lot of visual aids like that, and it's very funny. It's great. It's just a different type of thing.
Yeah.
It's not something I think I would ever do. I don't think y'all would do that either, but it's just a style thing.
Well, I'm against it, but if you like, I think if you're a stand-up comedian, mm-hmm. then you just stand there with a microphone and do comedy. But you can still be a comedian and entertainer. But I do think if you're considered a stand-up comedian, then, you know, that's your thing. But if you're, you know, you could still be an entertainer.
Where's the line? What do you think?
Can you rock?
What do you mean? Like I do on stage? Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't got to stand still, but you do got to be standing.
Yeah.
Even people that sit down, I'm kind of like, if you're a legend, you're almost like, all right, you can do it. But I mean, I think if we're stand-up comedians, we got to be standing.
I think a lot of church comedians use visual effects.
They do.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm not saying you can't do it, but personally, I'm not going to be doing it.
Yeah.
And
well, that's what I was saying too. It's just a style thing, and I choose not to do it.
Yeah.
But also, who knows? You know, I'm not too big to get a laugh any way that I can.
I was told that, you know, James Gregory he once hit a guy's puppet that used a puppet.
He did.
And the guy, you know, couldn't do his act because he lost his puppet.
Yeah.
But I can, you know, I've lost my voice and still did my show. And I thought it was a very good show. I did a weekend recently with I lost my voice. And I was very hoarse. But luckily, my voice is already a little raspy anyway.
Yeah, they couldn't even tell.
So I did four shows.
Wow.
In Spokane. Not feeling very good. And I think I crushed it.
You guys plan on ever retiring from comedy?
Next week. Right.
If I ever sell out three shows in Huntsville,
yeah,
I think I'm done at that point. Mm. I don't know. I'm not even like that's a personal and also like a financial decision. And neither department am I even thinking about that in any way. What about you? I mean, you're getting there. So like what you're gonna have to decide.
If it's soon. Financial decision, maybe I should use Robinhood.
Oh, dang.
Boom.
Hey, dude.
Even see it coming.
You played the long game. Did you know that was happening when you...
I did.
Did you know that even if you
been
have...
playing
a
you all week.
Well, hold on, Brian. I got to read this verbatim. So can you just hold off on the comments? Till I'm done?
All right.
Did you know that even if you have a 401k for retirement, you can still have an IRA? Robinhood has the only IRA that gives you a 3% boost on every dollar you contribute when you subscribe to Robinhood Gold. But get this. Now through April 30th, Robinhood is even boosting every single dollar you transfer in from other retirement accounts with a 3% match. That's right. No cap on the 3% match. Robinhood Gold gets you the most for your retirement thanks to their IRA with a 3% match. This offer is good through...
During his act...
Wait, he wasn't... Oh, his wife and sex. Okay. All right, sorry.
During his act, Aaron had several very funny bits about the city of Columbus. It got me wondering, how do you guys go about creating material for a specific place? Has it ever backfired and upset the audience?
Oh, man. I don't remember what Adam's talking about.
I don't think he saw Aaron.
I think I said good to be here in Columbus, and then I kind of moved on from there, but I don't know. That's very nice of you, Adam. Thank you. I'm glad everybody enjoyed the show. I don't know. I feel like I need to do more of that. I see some comics. I had Monty Mitchell. Y'all remember Monty?
I know
Nashville
Monty.
Guy.
Yeah, very funny.
He was with me this weekend in Iowa, and he did. We went to the state capitol in Des Moines, mm-hmm. and that night he talked about the state capitol building for like 9 minutes mm-hmm. on stage, doing great, getting big laughs. I was like, how do you do that?
Man? Monty's great.
Some guys are great at doing that. I don't feel like I'm one of those guys. So I don't talk about where I'm at that much.
I mean, I was with Nate in Tacoma when he did the Dead Horse and the Mount Rainier that day. And I was blown away by
crazy
how great it was. Very first time he told it.
I think for me, it's like some cities I go to, something happens and I'm like, oh, I got something. This is great. But other times it's like, for me, I've walked around Columbus, and I like Columbus. I don't find there to be anything particularly funny about it. I do like the city, but as I'm walking around, I'm like, there's nothing really to make fun of here. Like when I was in Tacoma, I made fun of like how I went walking down one side of town, and it got real sketchy, and people seemed to agree. They enjoyed it, you know? I did the Huntsville thing. It's like, but I don't know. Just if something's funny... But it's like, you know, you go to like a real rundown place. I don't want to be trashing the city.
Right.
be like, your city's crap. You know that, right? Because people will like it, but it just, some people won't. And it just, I don't like it. It doesn't feel good.
More than once, because I know Tennessee pretty well.
Yeah.
I've been to a small town in Tennessee where I've made references to things there that they didn't know about.
Oh, wow.
Like I knew too much.
Yeah.
And I thought, these jokes are going to kill. And then they just stare at me.
Yeah. You start doing research on the city and then you're like, you know,
One of them was, I did a Christmas party in Lewisburg, Tennessee. And I, when I grew up, Lewisburg's a very small town. There was a guy who made it, I think, all the way to the majors from Lewisburg. He was my age. And I thought, this guy is going to be a hometown hero. And I started talking about him. Nobody knew who I was talking about. Not one person.
Wow.
Now, granted, that was 35 years ago. But I'm like, oh, boy.
There's a comic came through Nashville recently. He was like, I got some good jokes about your new mayor. And nobody knows who the mayor is.
Yeah.
And nobody knows anything about the mayor.
Nah.
It's, I don't know how much you think we know about stuff.
Yeah.
Not a lot.
All I know about the old mayor is that he raised all our taxes. That's all I know about him. And I don't like him.
Well, the last mayor was a woman.
No, no. No, the last.
Come on.
Brian, come on, guys.
Just got to laugh. We could have convinced him that was true.
Well, come on. Get with it, guys. Yeah,
two mayors ago.
Again, that's because I'm too.
And
I'm
she's
too
great. She's a big comedy fan.
We met her. I met her.
We met her at Zany's a few times.
Yeah. Megan Berry.
Yeah. I'm going to go to the bathroom. Y'all just want to keep going?
Yeah.
You don't need to shut it down.
Nah.
I just need to blow my nose.
Okay. Yeah. Well, sorry.
Yeah, I think we all want that.
Okay. Well, I'll just go, I'll go on with Jasmine Lozano.
Yeah.
I've noticed that Brian has been corrected for putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable multiple times. My mom does this too. She says Six Flags instead of Six Flags. I don't get it. I don't know how to read that. And after correcting her for decades, I've just given up.
I think you read it correctly. I think it's supposed to, the emphasis is supposed to be on six.
Oh, Six Flags instead of Six Flags.
Well, yeah, maybe not quite that strong, but yeah, that's the point they're making.
Six Flags. I don't know how to do it, but yeah, okay. So she, not a lot of, like, she just really wants to let you know there's flags there, but it doesn't really matter how many.
I could see me, that could have, I could see me doing that.
How would you say it?
I mean, I could see it being like her mom, like Six Flags instead of six. Well, see, I can't even.
I don't. Yeah, see, I guess I get it. Like the thing, Foo Fighters.
That's right.
Yeah.
That we, right. There was one other day that Aaron, what was that word you corrected me on just the other day?
What do you mean? Which one?
When I put emphasis on the wrong word.
Oh, you do it all the time.
Oh, okay. Well, that cleared it up.
You do
well,
it most words.
You added a, feel like you added a syllable to a word the other day. But I don't know about the emphasis.
I feel like I've been fighting this thing. I just want somebody, I don't know if this is medically possible. I want someone to just poke a hole in my face and just let it kind of
drain the cats. Out. You get cats.
It's not cats though. I've had cats for a while and it's
you
just.
You got a new one though.
I got a new one. I mean, 4 months ago, dude.
I was on a plane the other day. Guy had a full size lab across the
really?
No cage, not just hanging out, and everybody is across from me. Everybody, all the flight attendants are like acting like they'd never seen a dog before.
Was it
like,
a friendly dog that behaved itself?
It was fine.
Okay,
but I'm like my sinuses were just on fire
really?
The whole time,
just from a dog being there.
Yeah.
Maybe that is what's happening.
I'm ready to move to a petless society. What's the country where they have no pets? Is there one?
I've never heard that. I think you're going to have to.
Antarctica?
Where they have no pets or they're not allowed to have pets?
Either way.
I think you're going to have to give away some freedoms if you want to live in a place where you're not allowed to have pets.
Yeah, that's true.
We might need to pick up the pace on some of these.
All right,
okay, my bad. Look at us, dude. Sorry about that.
We're used to a two-hour podcast.
I know. We're used to really stretching out. Kyle Scott. At the risk of sounding like a jerk, how often do you guys find yourself bombing in front of an audience? Bates, you can take this one. Does it happen often? Do you bomb less as you get more chances to do stand-up? How do you recover from bombing in front of an audience? On a serious note, I appreciate you all persisting through those times when you bomb. Look, bombing happens all the time. You have bad sets. I don't think like the sort of caricature of a bomb where it's like just a disaster, that's few and far between. And as you get better at comedy, you just learn how to handle that better. And I think you're in fewer situations where that's possible, where like the setup is a nightmare, like that corporate gig I had
right
a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Those don't happen that often. But yeah, you still, you know, not every set's great.
Yeah, because I don't bomb in the traditional sense at all anymore. But I've also invented a wave, and I say we're having a good time, right, which helps me a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
I have some situations, like you're talking about corporate gig, where it's like, it's a tough situation.
Uh-huh.
But even then, I'm not bombing. But I got so much material now that I've developed over the years to where I'm like, all right, this is not working. Maybe I think I can get a little weird where it's like people know me, they buy tickets to come see me, and then I'm in a corporate environment where it's like there's a chance that nobody or only a few people in the audience know who I am.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they're like, what's this guy doing? So I go back to some of the older,
sure,
you know, stuff. So
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my last two bombs have been two of my higher paying corporate gigs.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You think those are going to be the best, but often they're not.
Well, the buyers, I find in those situations, know your comedy, love you. They enjoy you. So they reach out and they get you hired. And then, you know, you just,
nobody else does.
You're just dealing with a room full of people that may not even be fans of comedy.
Right.
And oftentimes a corporate gig, it's like they're in there listening to people talk all day. Mm-hmm. So even though you're funnier at talking than the rest of the people, they're still tired of hearing talking.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
And then some guy's coming in talking about, you know, oh, I used to drink a lot. And they're like, okay, well, we still drink a lot. Okay. I'm blocked out right now.
I've pooped in a David's bridal.
Yeah. 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 We are David's bridal. Okay.
Whose turn?
Elijah Brown. Yeah. I'm nearly 40 years old. How old is too old to start a career in stand-up?
Two in a row for Brian.
Am I crazy for wanting to pursue this?
Yes.
I say this. If you have kids that are young, yes. If you're single, go for it.
Well, yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Yeah. I started when I was 35, but I was single. To me, that's more important than your age.
Yeah.
Is your family situation.
If you have young kids,
your life situation,
your life situation,
and everything,
because you're not going to just become a star overnight. It's going to take a long time.
You're not going to make any money. It took me, I mean, really from the time I went full time, it took, you know, 4 years to make any kind of money, but I was already doing it, you know, 6 years prior to going full time. So mm-hmm. you're looking at 10 years before I actually was making any money with comedy.
But I do have, I'll offer a counter to that. In Nashville alone, I can think of people who have great jobs and a family, and they come to open mics, and they've gotten very funny, and they get to do shows and travel a little bit, and
that's true.
Enjoy doing comedy.
And their kids hate them.
No, I mean,
I'm thinking of like Bo, our friend Bo. Who's like who was a doctor, and he has adult children now.
But yeah, he has adult kids.
Yeah, I guess 40, you might not have
so
adult children.
So, Bo is also, I think, retired and has made himself a ton of money, probably. Uh-huh. I don't know his bank account. Well, probably made himself a ton of money.
At 40, his kids could be close to grown.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah.
And then
that would
make it easier. I mean, Brian Covington is a very funny comic here in Nashville, gets to do great shows, but he's got a great family life.
Right.
And his wife comes to a lot of his shows.
She's
like very supportive.
Yeah.
So that's a big part of it too. Is your wife like into it, and does she understand how much you'll be gone?
Right.
So I think the short answer is no, it's not too old, but it's going to cause, depending on your life situation, it's going to force you to make some sacrifices
and ask
with
yourself,
your time.
Are you an alcoholic? You know what I mean? Because if you are, it's going to get worse.
That's
I ask myself
sure.
that every day.
Now, how about this last name, Brian? I want to see you tackle this. This is crazy.
Cosmo Krumenknocker.
I think so.
Okay. I like it.
I think it's fake.
Cosmo's a great name.
Yeah.
Cosmo Kramer.
Cosmo Kramer.
Yeah.
That's a reference to that?
I don't know.
Okay.
Is it my turn to read?
Yeah.
I think so.
I saw Dusty at the Tempe Improv. A few hours before the show, I got the wild idea to dress like Dusty, to just sit in the crowd and laugh and enjoy the show. My wife talked me out of it, but I am really regretting listening to her now. I just wanted to know what Dusty would think of performing in front of a crowd full of imitators. Would you be into it?
Well, I'll tell you this. I've done shows all over the place, and people sometimes will go, some of the wait staff will go, oh, there's people in the audience dressed like you. And then I'll make a joke about it, and then get no real reaction. And then after the show, find out they're not dressed like me. That's just how they dress. So a lot of people.
It was a homeless guy who wandered in.
Yeah, a lot of people look like me. Yeah, and depending on where you're at, when I go to Florida, there'll be a lot of people in the audience that looks like me.
Yeah.
And it's like, people just look like this. And that's what, when people think I'm ripping off Judah Friedlander out here, it's like, a lot of people look like me. And, but.
What about that guy?
But yeah, I mean,
this Cosmo.
But once in a while, people do dress like me, and I am into it. I wouldn't mind if the whole audience was dressed like me. I'd go, well, at least these guys are my fans, and let's get into it. Yeah, it's about to get weird in this show because you're into what I do.
There was a guy in Lexington at your show that we did that was very much looking like you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, he even had the belt with the name on it.
Yeah.
You have a very easily, I don't know the word, it's easy to do you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Costume wise.
Yeah. Because you have a good time. You dress like me and then you go, this is fun.
But if you had to dress up as me or Brian or even Nate, what would you
it's
even
a lot harder.
Do?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know that there would be a, I mean, if you dress like you, you're like almost dressing like me, but you know, you got a hat and a beard.
Right.
Take some hoodie. Some of those leaves you've been collecting.
Yeah. Maybe turn the hoodie around backwards, put some popcorn in the hoodie. That was an old reference.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that would be
you saying like a fat suit? Is that what you meant just now?
Maybe.
Yeah, stuff some leaves.
Yeah. One of the sumo wrestler suits. All right. Those are the comments. Thank you, everybody.
Let's
get into it.
Yeah,
we got some time.
We got a good 10 minutes to talk about furniture.
We're going to stretch out a little bit.
Yeah, we are. All right. This week we're talking about furniture. I got to ask you guys, when you come home, end of a hard night, hard week, whatever, do you have a place that is your designated place to sit?
I don't, and I wish I did, because I feel like that was a hallmark of my childhood, was my dad had his chair, right?
Yeah.
You come home and you sit in your chair.
Is it a recliner?
Like a lazy boy,
like a
single,
lazy boy?
Yep. Yeah, and it looked like just that feeling must be great. I've never had that. And I wish I did. Do you have a chair, Dusty?
Now, this is what I do. I come home after a hard weekend on the road, and my wife goes, here, take this baby, and I need to do something with myself. I've been here with kids all weekend, and I need a little bit of time to be myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I'm on the couch, if I'm lucky, with two kids, and it's great. I love it. I do love it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's like, oh, I'm tired. She's like, well, now she's like, I'm tireder than you. You've been out hanging out with your buddies.
Having a blast.
And I've been here. And she's like, I love being with the kids. But I'm, you know.
You need a break every now and then.
I need a break.
Do you have a chair, Brian?
No, I have a spot on the couch.
A spot on the couch?
That's where you take all your videos. I've seen your spot on the couch.
Oh, I think I know the spot on your couch, too.
Yeah. Your dog and your daughter there.
Yeah, the end, right, with the armrest there.
Yeah.
I got to say, I think a couch is overrated. That's going to surprise the two of y'all that I think that.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you rather have three individual seats than a couch?
I mean, I do have some comfortable chairs. We have
what are you talking about? You don't want an armrest with each arm?
I have an armrest on the couch.
You want to sit that close? Let's say you have to put three people on the couch. You want to sit that close to another person?
Well, I mean.
Well, maybe his wife.
There's not three adults at our house.
Okay, then why have a couch?
Sometimes I like to sit there, and then if there's nobody, I'll just stretch out and keep watching television.
Lay down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Before I got married, I had this setup going. I had a couch, and I had taken all the back cushions off, and then I had a king-size blanket that I would put on it, and then I could lay on one part of the king-size blanket and then pull the other side over me.
Nice.
So I'd created like a little pocket, and then I would have a pillow, and then I had a wireless keyboard and mouse and then I had a big monitor for a computer, and I could just kick back, watch YouTube videos and you know, and just for hours. And that was before I was married, before I had kids.
Yeah.
And I could just do that. So maybe you're right about sitting on a couch, but the whole laying, watching TV on a couch, I mean, that is where it's at.
Okay.
And I could, this was back when YouTube was great. I mean, you watch some, you know, crazy
it's
video.
Jumped the shark now. Has
you
it?
Watch a crazy video and then it rolls you right into the next one.
Yeah.
Now you watch a crazy video. The next one is some mainstream media plug-in in there. And I'm like, well, I'm not trying to watch this. I'm trying to get away from this.
Mm-hmm. About the moon landing.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I learned a lot of things.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember, dude. It was the best couch you ever had. I remember. Sophomore year of college, a friend of mine's older brother had a couch.
Yeah.
And he at his apartment, and he was like, I'm graduating. If y'all want this couch, you can have it for free. And we showed up thinking it'd be this, you know, little futon or whatever. We walk in, it's the nicest couch.
Oh,
it's like
yeah.
too nice for a college kid's apartment.
Yeah.
Probably $1,400, $1,500 couch. And we were like, oh, dude, and it was huge. It like took up half our dorm room, but we carried that thing back.
Oh, you're in a dorm room.
And we carried it to our dorm room. And it was, I mean, the envy of the whole floor.
Oh, yeah.
They have this nice couch.
Like this, because it wasn't big enough. They had to do it on a tilt.
Well, I brought a tape measure. It barely fit in the room. And I think it actually compromised how far the door could open. But it was one of those, like, we're willing to make the sacrifice.
Yeah.
It's that nice of a couch. And I actually retract my statement about couches earlier, because I'm remembering how good it felt to just lounge on, get zontal on that couch, dude.
Yeah.
After class or something.
I'm thinking that's the problem. The couch was too good.
Yeah.
And now no couch compares.
And no couch has compared
to that memory.
That.
And you're like, couches are overrated.
Oh, man, that was a great couch.
Yeah.
Dude. We used to go back and just watch Maury after class, dude. Underrated show. I miss that couch.
I love the show.
There's like a screenwriting. I was listening to some person talking about screenwriting, and they're talking about when you're combing through your life for things like stories about your life, a good way to think about it is the cars that you've driven. Think about all the cars you've driven, and that'll place you in your head in those different times of your life. But I think it works for couches too.
Oh yeah.
Because even just talking about it is taking me back. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about all the times
that's interesting.
On that couch.
I do want to do that now. I've done it with cars.
Yeah.
I do it with music. But I've had a lot of couches, too. I've lived in a lot of places.
Yeah, I'm guessing, I mean, a wild range of quality of couches for you, too. You know,
we had a couch one time that we sawed the back legs off of it. You know, those little ones?
Yeah.
We sawed those off so that it would have a little tilt to it and had a real, like when you sat in it, you really leaned back in it.
Oh, a tilt backwards.
Yeah.
Okay, I was saying, a tilt forward like a nightmare.
Yeah. A real tilt backwards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever, in the time of your life, the couch has been your bed?
Yeah, to some degree, yeah. Growing up, I lived in a 2-bedroom trailer with 4 people all together.
So the couch was your bed?
Yeah, for a long time, yeah.
I just meant as an adult, like, you ever had a...
Not some sad, poor childhood idiot.
Yeah. We're looking for more, like, fun stuff.
I thought I'd be, like, in your 20s, me and a bunch of buddies, and that was my... But no, that was your childhood.
Nah, never as an adult.
No, I didn't. My senior year of college, I had just a mattress on the floor. That's about as close as I've gotten.
I've had a mattress on the floor a couple of times, yeah.
Yeah, sad looking.
When you had a couch in your dorm room, did you guys have bunk beds?
We had, my sophomore year, I had a quad. So we had a common room in between.
Right.
So we actually lofted the beds and in each side of it. So then the middle, you just had room for the couch and a TV or whatever you wanted in there.
Mm-hmm.
And half that room was that couch. I mean, it was so like deep that it was cumbersome in a lot of ways, but it was awesome, man.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
I lived in a house when I first moved to Nashville, and I had a queen size mattress and box springs, and the stairwell was so small that I couldn't get the box spring up.
Yeah.
So Joe Kelly helped me. We sawed the box springs and folded it and then carried it up the stairs and then unfolded it out. It worked great.
Really?
Yeah.
Folded
awesome.
The couch in half.
Yeah. No, not couch. Box springs.
The box springs. Yeah. That's crazy.
What's the longest you've ever had a mattress?
Oh, gosh. I have a joke about it. I mean, I had a mattress that I think my sister gave to me. I bought a trailer that she used to live in, and I think the mattress was still in there. Who knows how long they had it. And then I had it for a couple of years in that trailer, and then I took it to Charleston, and it moved with me several places. And this was when I was an alcoholic, and I was living a rough life, and a lot of things happened to that mattress. And I moved from one place to another, and it flew off the back of the truck, landed on a bridge, got ran over. I picked it up. It was all bent up, and I kept that until I quit drinking, I had that mattress. And wow. I threw that mattress in a dumpster. And it was so worn out that when I threw it in the dumpster, it was able to just fold over. I mean, I bet I had it. What would that? That would have been 2012. I bet I had it for, you know, 14 years.
Yeah.
And then who knows how long it had been around before then.
But. Yeah. Decades.
Yeah.
Yeah. My older brother's bed when I took his room when he moved out. That mattress was still around. I think it's still in my parents' house.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, 30 years maybe?
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's hardly reused, I guess, now.
Yeah, just flip it over every now and then. Oh, yeah. Anytime it feels weird, just flip it over, dude. Flip it on its side. Whatever you need to do.
The average age of a mattress is 7 years.
Okay.
Seven.
They do gain weight over time.
Yeah. Oh, they gain a lot of weight.
Mine was very heavy and flimsy.
You can only guess why they gain weight. Skin cells, dust mites. That's for the mattress. What makes them?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back to couches. I don't know if there's a difference between a sofa and a couch, but
I wouldn't be able to tell you. I feel like it would be in the north they call it a sofa, in the south we call it a couch.
Yeah,
that's what I would think.
A sofa's average life expectancy is 2,958 days. That's roughly 8 years.
A sofa's life expectancy? Okay.
It's sofas never end.
Yeah. We eat on average 13 times a month. We eat on the couch.
Yeah.
It's a little low.
Yeah. I want to say I'm on the right end of that bell curve for sure.
Yeah. I would only say 13 because I'm gone a good bit of days.
Yeah. Is there a piece of furniture that you've always wanted for your house that you've yet to get besides the walk-in cooler? I guess that wouldn't be
furniture. That's furniture.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. I'd like a Lazy Boy. There's no room in my house right now to have like a Lazy Boy chair, but I want a throne. Every man needs a throne.
Yeah, I would like that too. Right?
Just to kick back, maybe tell the kids you're not allowed on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just sit there and complain about stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, just be, yeah. It sounds great.
I would like that. I got a small recliner, you know, that I like, but a nice, thinking about it, I may go get one. Okay.
Tonight.
I got a Netflix special now. I may go get a
recliner. There you go. Yeah, you can go get a chair if you want it.
I don't have a Lexus SUV that a lot of people in the Nateland Facebook group think I have.
Should we clarify that?
Yeah, let's clear it
up. Dusty and I did a video with Rated Red where we ate hot chicken around Nashville. Mm-hmm. In the video, Dusty picks me up in a Lexus.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of comments. Can't believe Dusty's driving a Lexus. Mm-hmm. Didn't strike me as a Lexus SUV guy.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the real story about it?
Well, you know, the Rated Red people had the Lexus all wired up with cameras.
The GoPros and microphones and everything.
So I just drove their car.
Yes. So that wasn't Dusty's personal car in the video. That needs to be made clear.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a Toyota Tacoma.
And a Mercedes SUV. Yeah.
And a lot of times I'm driving a Toyota Corolla out here.
Yeah.
I love that car. We call it the zipper. I can just zip around in that thing, and it is great.
Yeah.
I don't worry about getting it dinged up.
Right.
It's been dinged up a bit.
You've been in some wrecks with it?
Not wrecks, but it gets dinged up.
Well, if you haven't seen the video, it's a very funny video that these guys are in. So go check that out.
Yes, it is funny. It turned out very, very good.
And I know when you're not eating hot chicken, you're eating HelloFresh.
Yeah, I don't even like to eat a lot of fried chicken, but I do it though. Hello, folks, to HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That is why it's America's number one meal kit. Whether you're trying to save money, eat better, or stress less, HelloFresh is there to help.
That's nice.
But then we do have, you know, a room with a TV. And I had a spot. Now, it's got to stay there because I drilled giant holes in the wall to hang a TV hanger.
Yeah.
And I never want to move it. But I like the TV to be in a hot spot, you know?
High up on the wall?
High as it can get. It's a bit of a, you know, the wall kind of starts to tilt a bit. So
mm-hmm. The last few years, I've been obsessed with this subreddit called TV Too High.
Okay.
Where they basically roast people who have their television too high in their house. Now, ideally, the television should be eye level. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't have to look back like you're at an IMAX theater.
Right. You don't want to hurt your neck.
The problem is the instinct is to put the television right above a fireplace.
Yeah.
Or on the mantle. But mm-hmm. that's usually too high. So we have to rethink that. This subreddit is a blast, dude.
And Mine's not that high. It's completely changed.
What do you think about like that particular height? I'd say that's a common height.
There's a lot going on the coffee table there.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Don't show that one. My bad, everybody. We won't show that. Let me find a good
example. All of these have been fine so far.
Wait, hold on. Okay. I didn't know what that was.
Yeah. This is Reddit, so I'm sorry. Like, here's a good example. That's too high.
But let's go back to that one for a second.
Okay.
If you have that view, don't be watching TV.
Exactly.
Sit on the couch and look at your phone.
Put it on a different wall.
Right. Look at
Yeah. Now, I'd say even here, I'll say this, the television's pretty high in Nate's place, but they have a mount that you can pull.
Yeah,
down.
They have a nice adjustable.
You can pull it down to get at a good height, right? Yeah. But this has totally changed the way I go to friends' houses, and I just not judge, but I'm so aware. This is like perfect height for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I think so.
Right here.
Yeah.
Right above. I mean, it's mounted. It doesn't even need to be mounted. It's right above the television stand. That's where you want it.
I agree.
Our TV is above the mantle, above the fireplace.
Oh,
it
brutal.
Now, in our defense, though, we cut the back legs off our couch, so it tilts.
Exactly.
So we're kind of looking directly at it.
Exactly. That's what you want to do.
I was listening to that. How much of a tilt are we? Was that a joke?
That was a callback to Dusty's.
I know that.
You don't, you know, Ruth ain't having the legs cut off the couch.
Eleanor with a saw.
Yeah.
Bates is sitting in with one of those Adirondack chairs. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, I looked up TV's current prices because I had no idea. And of course, there's a lot of deals right now for the Super Bowl. That's when they try to get you. The most expensive TVs I could see that you could buy like in a normal store, like Best Buy or whatever, was
$5,000. $5,000.
And what is it?
Like 98-inch, 4K, 5K, whatever the top K is.
I mean, what kind of room are you dealing with when you have a 98-inch TV? You ever go to somebody's house and they have a huge TV, but the living room's real small? It's like, you don't need this. Why are we? I can't see.
I agree.
I need sunglasses to watch TV.
Okay. I want to turn my head to see stuff on TV. I want to be like, oh, it's down there.
You remember when the TVs had a little bend on it for a second? Yeah, I feel like they were trying to make that a thing.
Curved.
And maybe they still are. But
now, computer monitors, they still make curved in a lot of ways. If you get like a big, you can get a huge wide monitor that's curved, that kind of envelops you in it.
Oh, yeah.
That's fun. Okay. It's tougher to do in a TV situation. Yeah.
I read where desk chairs were basically invented by Charles Darwin.
Oh.
He was doing a lot of research, and he wanted wheels on his chair so he could quickly go back and forth on his stuff.
From what to what, do you think? He said a bunch of desks?
From a beaker to, I don't know, whatever Charles Darwin was doing.
He's trying to help in that evolution of hunching our backs.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, he's
you know what I mean?
I thought that was
interesting. Yeah, he never gets credit for that. You know, he just gets credit for other stuff.
Do you guys ever check into a hotel and be like, "What is this?"
Oh, all like, the time.
Dude.
I've been chronicling this a little bit on social media. It's been a lot of fun for me. I've just had a lot of bad hotel furniture lately. I want to see what y'all.
Dusty, every time I think it's not plugged in up there.
What is?
Signal.
Sometimes I'll check into a hotel and there'll be like a desk and a couch and I'll be like, oh, this is awesome. I got a lot of places to sit.
Right.
And then I spend the entire weekend sitting on the bed.
I do too.
Now, what do you think about this chair? I was at a hotel and this was just set up in the corner. It looks like an ottoman they kind of threw a half of a back onto.
They're like, we got all these ottomans and all these extra backrest.
And I want to go, what do you expect anyone to do? You can't even set a suitcase on it.
Yeah.
It's just a waste. Here's another one. This is a bit of a fainting couch. I mean, this took up half of a Hampton Inn.
This is, I think they call this a chaise lounge. And it's this is not a particularly good design.
Are you serious?
I think so.
I've never heard of a chaise lounge, and I don't.
Is that how you say it, a chaise? Is that how you say it, a chaise? I think it's chase.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh yeah, I've heard that. A bit of a
debate.
I would have turned around for sure, but this is—it's like a long. It looks almost like a therapist chair, but there's only a back on one side of it. And you go, what do you envision?
Right. This is the kind of thing for Brian, like sitting on the end of the couch. He's got one armrest.
Well, you want to ask, like, the whoever designed this hotel room, what do you envision me doing? I get in. I don't know what they expect me to do with my suitcase, but I just sit on that like Kate Winslet in Titanic. That's what I think of. But it paint me like one of your French girls.
That's what
it looks like.
This is what I think was happening.
Yeah.
They are on some kind of website for hotel furniture, right, and they're clicking along and they go, ooh, this is on sale. And then they 50% off.
That's
here.
And then
and they're like, oh, we could get a lot of these. They're like, it looks good.
I don't think that looks good. At all. I'm saying...
What hotel is this?
I don't remember.
An upscale hotel?
No.
Because it looks like somebody trying to look more
middle
upscale.
Of the road. I would say middle of the road.
Yeah, this is like a Hampton Inn level.
If this were
right around there.
It could be placed on the wall in a way that it shouldn't be in this corner like that. It should be up against the wall.
Well, here's what you do. You take it out. And then my reaction would have been, wow, this hotel room is very spacious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of it's cramped and I don't know what that is in the corner.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If you guys were president, how would you decorate the White House? Like, what's one Dusty Slay touch?
I think about this a lot because, A, I watch The West Wing all the time, and they talk about it a little bit. When you show up and you get the Oval Office, you can put anything you want in it. Basically, any national museum, you can go take whatever you want and just put it in the Oval Office. So this is what Joe Biden's looks like right now. You can get any paintings you want in there. Any desk, any furniture, you can arrange the couches any way you want. And what would you have in there?
I'd get some old couches, and I'd get some lava lamps and probably some Salvador Dali paintings, and I'd make it look like a stoner kind of room there, and just be like my trailer looked in the early 2000s.
Some blinds.
Yeah, some blinds. Just
instead
old,
of the door, those beads that hang from it, beads, you got to walk through that.
Yeah, and just like an old rug.
Fabric poster of Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, yeah. No paint. I said Salvador Dali paintings. I mean posters.
Oh, poster.
Yeah, like I'd get like that Pink Floyd one with all the women sitting on the side of the tub and it had the, you know.
And not framed.
Not framed. Duct tape or thumbtacks. Yeah.
Thumbtacks in the Oval Office.
And a lot of holes in the paint poster where you can see you've moved it a lot.
Uh-huh.
Maybe some empty liquor bottles on the shelf.
On the shelf.
Yeah.
And not even an expensive liquor brand, just something you're proud that you
Evan Williams, early times.
Maybe like Jack Daniel's Honey, something fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't remember the good times you had.
Yeah.
Yeah, take down all those statues.
Yes.
From the Museum of Modern Art.
Or, you know, put like a beanie on this head.
Right.
Some sunglasses.
Sure.
Maybe
a mini fridge. Put
that.
Yeah.
You go to Goodwill and get you some stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Desk wise, no desk. You just be on the couch.
Yeah, maybe a folding table where we would be playing beer pong.
Folding table.
Yeah.
This desk, this is the most famous desk probably of all time. You know what this desk is called? The presidential desk right here?
The Roosevelt.
Pretty darn close, dude.
Yes.
Yeah, the Resolute desk.
Oh, wow.
Have you heard that?
No.
Before, this is the desk that most of the modern presidents have used, though you can choose. Some people chose not to use it. It was made from, I can't remember. The Resolute was a ship.
Who chose not to use it?
Yeah, what did they do with it? Put it in the closet?
Yeah, there's a lot of storage at the White House. You go, I'd rather not use that particular desk.
Oh, it weighs 1,300 pounds.
Yeah.
And there's a red button used to call aides.
There's a red button that you've probably heard of, a red button on the desk. It became famous for people thinking it was like, that's the nuclear button.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Right, where you want to launch nukes at Russia. You just hit the button.
Yeah.
But really all it's ever done is just call somebody to come in.
Yeah.
The legend is that Trump, it was just a Diet Coke button.
Oh, yeah.
He would press it, and then somebody would come in with a Diet Coke on a silver platter, and he would press that all the time.
And who wouldn't do, that's what I'm saying. If you're the president, like, you're like, I got some things, like, maybe a little quirky thing.
What would your red button be on your fold-out table?
Oh, man. What would my red button be?
Let me think about that.
I don't know. Someone to come change the TV. You know, like the old school days, my dad had a little intercom at his house.
Yeah.
And he had a satellite dish.
Mm-hmm.
And there was he had remotes for everything, but there was one button that he would have to push to go turn the satellite dish off to go back to regular TV that he didn't have a button for. So he would hit the intercom. He'd go, "Hey, come in the living room." And I'd come in. He goes, "Push that button up there."
So that's what you would have.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Here's me at the Resolute desk.
Wow. Look at
that. That's not the real one, obviously. That's at the George Bush Presidential Library in Dallas, Texas. But they have a full-size replica of the Oval Office in there, and they let you sit at the Resolute desk. Wow. I got to tell you, you do feel powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look powerful.
I think the desk, I think all of that, the chair, all of that is important because you sit at it, and you're like, all right.
That's a nice desk. I may keep the desk.
Okay.
But still do, all you know, beer pong of sorts on the desk.
Beer pong on the Resolute desk.
I don't drink
crazy
anymore, but just the idea. We would just do it with, you know, sweet tea.
Well,
or
nobody
whatever
plays beer pong with beer anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Now they play sanitary with just water in the cups, and you drink a beer while you play. But nobody's filling the cups up with beer.
That's
anymore.
Weak. That's weak.
I think it's much cleaner.
That's what it's all about.
Overall,
though,
better experience.
It is about the bit of the germs too. You know, it's like, hey, you're like, you know, when somebody hits it, it, not only is it a punishment that you have to drink the beer, but you also, you know, you have to drink the germs, you know, right, be better at the game.
Right.
And we would always put it in its own solo cup of water and it's run it around.
Yeah.
You know, that's how you clean it
for
off.
For half a second and then you take it out.
Yeah. That's how you clean it off.
Yeah.
There was no COVID back then when we were doing that. I'll tell you that.
Sure.
You know?
What about a pool table? Would you consider that furniture?
No, I don't think so. I think what would the definition of furniture? I think it's, you have to interact with it in some, like, sit in it or on it, or
I would say to a pool table being furniture.
Furniture?
TV wouldn't be fit that definition.
I don't think TV's furniture.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Okay.
Well,
I think your couch and everything in relation to where the TV set up is a furniture discussion.
But TV has gone through this evolution to where at some point, you know, TV used to be in a big wooden box that sat on the floor. So it was was almost like the Resolute desk.
Yep.
And it was that heavy.
Uh-huh.
And now, you know, it just can hang on the wall. So it might have lost its furniture status.
That's true. Because as a kid, that's where we put a lot of stuff on.
Yeah.
It was the big.
Oh,
my mom had her Christmas village on top of the TV. You know, she had set up all her little houses.
Yeah. My grandmother had on top of she had a grand piano, and there was a million things on top of that piano.
Oh, yeah.
Picture frames, plants, and
is everything. That furniture?
The way she was using it.
And you
but
do sit down at
now,
the piano.
You do sit down. I guess the piano seat is furniture, but not the piano.
Right. I guess by that definition, a guitar is furniture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A flute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you go to a furniture store looking for a saxophone.
You got flutes in here, guys? You don't have flutes at a furniture store. Are you kidding me?
What about a pinball machine? Same thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think pinball machine's furniture, but there's something about a pool table.
I get it.
Yeah. You got wooden, you got leather pockets. And
you think of a nice pool table.
A nice pool table, yeah.
Ping pong table, no?
No.
Yeah.
It'd have to be very nice.
I might put a ping pong table in the Oval Office.
I'd be fun.
There's plenty of room in there, and that's kind of a fun, you know, some.
When world leaders come, you make decisions based on who wins the ping pong match.
Well, you go, it's a fun icebreaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, bring a king of over, whatever, and you go, let's play a little game real quick.
Yeah.
You know, it would help. With North Korea, they love ping pong.
Yeah.
You know, if we had a ping pong table in the Oval Office, I find it easy to believe that presidents have putted balls in the Oval Office, right? You know, into a nice glass.
Yeah.
What's the difference between that and a ping pong table?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Mm-hmm.
I think like a Stairmaster or treadmill is probably one of the, it becomes furniture.
Sure. I just got a treadmill in front of my desk.
Oh, yeah?
Because I have a standing desk.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Which are increasingly common, I think. But I have one in my house, and I just leave it up, and I put a walking pad. It's called, it's a treadmill that you can't run on it, basically. But dude, it's awesome, man.
I think it's going to change my life. We have a treadmill at home that we use. I mean, we love it. We love our treadmill. We use it all the time.
You put in on a desk in front of it or anything?
We have a TV. We have a TV that's too high.
Yeah.
And
just walking like that all day.
Yeah.
But I'll sit there and I got to answer emails or something or whatever. I'll just walk as I'm doing it. And you kind of forget that you're doing it, man.
Yeah.
And I'll walk 8 miles.
I don't believe
just doing rapping stuff
the whole time.
Just doing stuff.
Losing yourself.
Yeah. Just
like,
doing
how mom's spaghetti get up here. You see, you have a lot of misspellings because you're walking and hitting enter.
I did have to find the right speed to walk at where it was possible to type because I was, when you walk as fast as you want to walk, it's I can't do anything on on the computer. But if I'm at about 2.6 miles per hour, I can work and not even realize I'm walking.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
I mean, they say sitting is the new smoking.
Sitting is the new smoking. Have you heard that, Dusty?
Not well, I guess, but not nearly as cool, though. You know what I mean? I had someone message me about how much they were disappointed in my special that I had. I glorified cigarettes. And I'm like, do you not really get the irony of what I'm saying here? I mean, I'm pretending as if I'm glorifying cigarettes, but I'm also being like, I quit. You know, if I thought cigarettes were so great, would I have quit?
Yeah.
Is it, you know, I like doing it, but obviously it's horrible for you.
Of course.
It made me feel awful.
Of course.
Yeah. Do I love it? Yeah, of course I do. But is it cool? Yeah.
Yeah. Should you be watching Dusty's special for health advice? Maybe. I don't know.
Do you know that we put out that clip of the green beans, the Western Sizzling green beans?
Uh-huh.
And people are arguing about how much they eat the green beans at a buffet.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you don't have some sometimes, but you don't go, you know what? The Golden Corral has really good green beans.
They're not the star of the show.
Yeah, dude. I think I'd like to pop in there and get the green beans.
Exactly.
And they're like, why were they refilling them? And I'm like, I don't know. Over time, maybe they get dehydrated. They dry out in the bottom and you got to pour some more in there. It's like, don't try to argue with the jokes here, you know?
You know, McDonald's has cinnamon rolls.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure they're good.
And you may get it once
in a while. You may get it once in a while. But if they take cinnamon rolls off the menu, nobody's going, well, there's no reason to go to McDonald's anymore.
Exactly.
That's all we're saying.
People love to argue.
I know.
I'm just saying, don't act like.
Now, you're in there fanning the flames, though. Let's be honest.
Of course.
Yeah, you love it.
Don't stop arguing.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably a good place to wrap it up.
You think so?
We probably need to.
Okay, let's do it. Dusty, where are you going to be this weekend?
Well, this weekend,
I just want to say I love everybody. Should we just say that?
Yeah.
I feel like when Nate's not here, sometimes when it ends, I feel weird about
the way it wraps?
Not the way it wraps, but just, I don't know. I overthink how everything went.
And I think this is a great
podcast.
And I hope
none of this came across as too, you know, whatever.
I think this is a great podcast.
Okay.
This weekend, I'm going to be part of the Grand Ole Opry, I'll be part of the showcase of the Opry. Sometimes I pitch the Opry before and people will think that it's my show. Mm-hmm. I'll be part of the Opry show.
Mm-hmm.
But then coming weeks, you know, I'll be in February in Milwaukee at the Improv. I'll be in Tulsa, Oklahoma and Indianapolis.
Nice.
So just if you're in those areas, it's going to be hot. It's going to be fun.
And it's all new stuff from the special.
Special. I got a totally new hour.
How about it?
I mean, it's
amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be hot.
That's the most impressive thing to me.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be in Palatka, Florida. People told me how to pronounce it.
Palatka.
Yeah, I think I was saying Palatka, but it's Palatka, Florida. February 17th.
Let's ask this, though. Will you be taking your shirt off in Florida?
Depends on what the weather's like.
Okay.
February still could be dicey.
Not at the show, though.
Who knows, man? We'll see. Could do a little Bert Kreischer at Church of the Heights.
Yeah. Bates Kreischer in here.
My big closer.
Yeah.
Although he starts with it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
February 29th, I'm at the Comedy Catch in Chattanooga.
All right. Nice, hot dude. Club.
Yeah. My buddy Alex Valuto, who's been on this podcast, is coming with me there.
All right.
And then March 1st, the next day, Hudsonville, Michigan at Fellowship Church.
Nice, dude.
I'd like to say Comedy Catch, great green room experience.
Yeah.
Great green room. And Danielle is an excellent swimmer.
Danielle's the best.
This weekend, I'm going to the Windy City, huh? Chicago, right. Illinois, at Zany's Comedy Club in Old Town, Chicago. Five shows, one show Thursday, two Friday, two Saturday. I'm doing a ton of press for it. I'm hoping I can pack those out. I'm excited to be back. So Chicago this weekend, if you're in the Chicago area,
go come see on Aaron. Out.
Go see Aaron at Zany's in Old Town.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. Brian, you want to close it out?
Yes. As always, we love you guys. None of this is lost on us.
Right.
And Nate will be back next week, as far as we know.
Boom. Dusty will be gone. What?
I don't know. Maybe. Okay. But we're having a good time.
All right. Well, we'll see who's here next week, but I bet I'll be here. And yeah, we're having a good time. Thanks. That's it. Bye.
All right. Thank y'all.
Nate Land is produced by Nate Land Productions and by me, Nate Bargatze, and my wife, Laura, on the Audio Boom platform. Recording and editing for the show is done by Genovations Media. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to catch us next week on the Nate Land Podcast.